Hello and welcome to episode 267 of the Rollo and Slappy Show. Today is August 30th, 2021. I am Rollo McFlugel, and with me is my co-host Slappy Jones. Show notes page for this episode will be mcflugel.com/267, where you'll find links to the things we talk about, as well as checking out our sponsor, libertymugs.com, and also great ways to learn about Bitcoin, Bitcoin Trickle, and 10hoursofbitcoin.com. So I am fresh off coming back from the conference, the big tractor conference in Dallas, Texas. No, it was the big Bitcoin conference, BitBlock Boom. Had an absolutely wonderful time down there. It was everything I thought it would be and more. Met a lot of great people. Just had an absolute blast. It's just one of those things where you can be with a bunch of people and you're all on the same page about stuff for the most part.
So you can just relax and be yourself and not...
Yeah, not even that you normally have to censor yourself around people, but
I censor myself around people all the time.
Well, I do, but that's not even
I don't lie. I just don't talk.
Right. But what's nice about this is not only that you don't have to censor yourself or filter yourself, but you can just people get references. You can make the references that you want to make and those people get it.
So that should, yeah. Okay.
I did have one reference I did make, that at dinner that only Vake got.
Did you make any Vespucci jokes?
No Vespucci jokes, but what was it? It was real subtle, and I forget what it was, but Vake got it.
Well, that's cute.
Yes. Hopefully yes. Vake remembers. He should, because it was probably such a brilliant joke.
You guys had a little giggle together.
Yeah.
That's good.
Man, it's going to bug me now what it was. I think it was a sports reference.
Had to be a song about Jameis Winston.
No.
Chris Nix.
No. It was about not Ricks, about a person. Ricks. Not about a person.
Seminole riding his horse in.
Come on. Not like that. I forget. But it probably didn't land on the other two because they were not Americans.
But it was really funny.
It was really funny.
Yeah.
Ah, it's going to kill me now. Vake, I know you're listening to this, so refresh my memory on what it was. It was also great because I got to acknowledge how big of a Seminoles fan he is in person.
Oh, yeah?
Several times, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
I know that's his pride and joy. I'm sure you appreciate it.
Yeah. But it was great, you know. Met a lot of people that I interact with on Twitter. For those people that have gone to Childerberg, it was a similar feel as Childerberg is. I met a lot of people that are kind of the big name podcasters or personalities in the space, and they're pretty humble guys, down to earth, didn't make a big deal about themselves or anything. So it was nice to kind of see that. No one was big time in anybody else, but I don't think in this space you really can get away with that. So,
well, you can't big time Rollo McFlugel, so
no,
that's part of it.
No, it was funny. Someone would introduce me to people sometimes, including someone. I was talking to someone and they said hello to Tone Vase when he came by, and they know each other. And he's like, "Hey, Tone, it's Rollo McFlugel. It's Rollo McFlugel." Introducing me to him as if he should know
who I was. You look exactly like the picture.
Yeah. And he's like, "Yeah, I think I are you?" And I'm like, "Nah." I'm like, "It's fine. You don't have to. You, no reason you would know who I am." But yeah, it was a whole lot of fun. And the other nice thing about being around Bitcoiners is that they go, you know, you tend to eat well too. So whole lot of meat. Ate a whole lot of meat. Not many carbs. Except for beer. Had some carbs from the beer. Also,
any good beers?
I drank locally. I had some Shiners.
Locally sourced beer, Shiner Bock. Nice.
Yeah.
Got to go with the Bock.
Oh, yeah. I like it.
Good. I like Shiner. Good.
Yeah.
Solid Texas beer.
Yeah. And Bock is always just the best thing in the world.
Sometimes.
Yeah. I hung out with Jacob Lindsay from Tasting Anarchy and Carr Thursday night. Went out to dinner with them, and I got some barbecue and Jacob's wife.
Good.
Always good to see them. I mean, it's funny, those hanging out with them. It's like, you know, we've known them for a while. We've podcasted with them. I've met them a few times before, but it's just like when you're hanging out with guys like that in person, it's like you've known them forever and like have hung out with them forever. So that was a lot of fun. Always good to see them. And I brought a knife on the plane accidentally. Philadelphia Airport did not catch it. Dallas Airport did confiscate it. I had like a
don't mess with Texas.
No, I had a what's it called? A bottle opener that I'd thrown in my like little bag that I bring to work, and I was bringing it down the shore with me and forgot to take it out down there. It was one of those bottle openers with the cork, like a, almost like a Swiss Army knife kind of thing with how they, you know, collapsible, foldable. So it had the corkscrew on it. And then it also had like the inch and a half blade on it.
Blade. Yeah.
Which they pulled that out, and he's like, usually these have knives on it. And he opened it up. I'm like, I did not know that was in there. So they just.
What else you got? What else you want to try to not tell me about?
What do you mean?
You're carrying bombs in there, guns. What else do you have? Carrying a knife.
Yeah. That was the. It was the only bad thing. Like, well, not it wasn't. Wasn't even bad. They didn't really care. They're just like, yeah, you can either take it back out and mail it, or we just get rid of it. And I said, yeah, just get rid of it. Wasn't nearly as traumatic as the whole mustard seizure that happened.
Yeah.
The last time I flew to Dallas.
Dallas.
Yeah, that was a lot worse and a lot more anger and rage inducing. But oh well, I survived. So... Oh, I also want to say this. I think I had a join market. I see I opened, this evening I checked the join market wallet, and in the section mixed depth one, it now has a balance in there. There's a UTXO that got moved there. So I assume that someone took... I acted as a maker for a coin join and someone took it.
Nice.
So, I really have no idea what I'm doing with join market. And I saw our buddy, Max from, who's on the, of Eden, 3D printing. He gave a pretty good presentation, workshop at Bitblock Boom. And I talked to him for a while, and he was listening to our previous podcast. We're talking about join market. And so we ended up talking about join market for a little bit. And I was like, dude, you know a lot more about this than I do. So you should come on the podcast and talk about it. And he goes, I don't really know that much about it. And I said, that's fine, but you're not much is like
more than us.
Yes. A lot more. So he can get us up to speed in the, somewhere in the stadium where he's sitting. So we can understand what's going on with this stuff a little bit more.
For sure.
And bring it to all of you lovely listeners. We're learning together. I don't have any other interesting news, I don't think.
Not much. We got rained out again this weekend at the track. Couldn't go see some races. So got to sit home and watch Coke Zero 400 down in Daytona.
Nice.
Ryan Blaney gets his third win of the year. Tyler Reddick sneaks into the playoffs on points. Lots of crashes, lots of action.
There you go.
So there's my NASCAR update for the week.
There you go. I forget what I was just going to ask you. Had nothing to do with NASCAR. I don't know. Doesn't matter. So let's get into what we're going to talk about. So,
what are we going to talk about today?
A little while ago, John Odermatt, who I just was on the Lines of Liberty podcast, doing a debate.
Challenge him to a fight or something, or what was it?
Yeah, a fight. he had a tweet to which I replied, "Bitcoin fixes this." And he said, "I'd be interested in hearing that explained." And then, Mark Clare also said, "I would very much like to hear this theory explained." So, we'll do it.
Yeah, let's explain it. What do you mean by that? So, should we read the original tweet?
Yeah, read the tweet so people know what we're talking about. It's not It's not a Natasha tweet.
No. This is not that.
By the way, did you see Guy Swan did an episode on that Natasha thing?
No, but I'm going to listen. Yeah. I'll probably listen later tonight or tomorrow.
Yeah, he was a little bit smoother with his reading and explanation of why it's so wrong. But he kind of took it from a different angle. He went more into he took it a little bit different approach. He didn't just mostly say, it's just totally like out of left field fantasy world, so we don't even have to address it. He dug into it a little bit, but yeah, it was really good. I enjoyed it.
There it is. I see it on my feed. I will listen.
Oh, yeah. Why don't you read John Odermatt's tweet?
Sure. So John Odermatt says, and here is the tweet. "You want to eat pork? Farm a wallet. You want to work? Farm a wallet. You want to go to a concert? Farm a wallet. Enjoy your freedoms in the People's Republic of Farmerica." And tweets.
So,
to which Rallo replied, "Bitcoin fixes this."
Yes, of course. Which you can really reply to any tweet with, and it would probably be true. So just to set this up a little bit, when I was starting to prepare the show notes page for this and coming up with a little picture thumbnail for this episode, I did a little Google search of something like vaccine wallet passport or something. And one of the first pictures that popped up and the picture that I used for this thumbnail was like an advertisement or an announcement that there's some service that was going to allow you to digitally upload your vaccination records to your Apple Pay wallet.
Yeesh.
Which,
yuck.
Well,
I saw something. Did you see that with the World Health Organization and the Bill and Melinda Gates or Foundation or is funding for having your vax record on a blockchain?
Yeah, well, that makes me feel a lot better because it's just not going to work.
Yeah, exactly.
I fully support them using Ethereum.
They should definitely use Ethereum. That would be great.
Yes. But no, I mean, this stuff is... they're trying to do it. I mean, they're already trying to do vaccine passports in other countries around the world. I don't know if they'll actually accomplish this, but it's something that we do have to think about. And, you know, right now, you got to be a special kind of stupid or not paying attention to be like, yes, of course I will upload my vaccine record to the thing that allows me to pay for things. I guess that person feels like they don't have to worry about it since they have their vaccination record. But I mean, I don't know if someone wants to call a slippery slope or not, but it's like with all these booster shots you got to get, you know, what happens if, okay, you got your double jab and you put it on your iPhone, Apple Pay, and then they come out and say like, all right, you need a third You need another booster for three shots. And you're like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm a good idiot. And I'll go get that. And they're like, ah, oh, man, no one saw this coming. But you now need a fourth shot. And you go, well, all right. I mean, four shots is probably a lot, but, you know, science. I believe in science. And I don't hate children. So I'm going to do my part to protect everybody else and protect myself. And I'll get the
children
fourth shot.
Are really, really negatively affected by this disease.
Yeah. Yeah, big time. And then they come out and say, well, man, really no one saw this coming. Like, we wouldn't expect it at all. But actually, now you need a fifth shot. And then you go, well, all right. This, I'm not really happy about this now, but just like to go along, to get along, I'll do it. Just because I guess... Hey, you probably won't hurt me, but I'm starting to not feel so great about this. And then, like, and you're like, and it's definitely going to be the last shot I need to get. There's no way they're going to be like, oh, you need six shots for COVID. And then, like, then they come out and they go, oh, whew, unforeseen circumstances.
It mutated.
It mutated. Again. Like, who would have thought that was going to happen? And so now you need a sixth COVID shot. And you're like, all right, I'm starting to think that they're just going to keep making me get shots.
And that apparently don't work because I have to keep getting new ones.
Right. And I've gotten COVID like 14 times since then. It's just because of the selfish, unvaccinated people.
But thankfully you had the vaccine. So
oh, it would have been so much worse. It would have been so much worse, yes, if I didn't have the five shots.
Yes.
But like, you're like, all right, well, at this point, I'm just injured so much from the pricks I'm getting. I'm like very filled with holes. There's no more like flesh.
I've got track marks.
Yeah, there's no more available flesh for you to stick a needle in. And I feel like you're just going to keep doing this in perpetuity. So I'm not sure I want to get this shot. But then you go to your Fiat food feed bag place. And you're like, I would like one diabetes, please. And they go, sure. Here's your diabetes. And you go to pay for it with your cool Apple Pay because you're a hip Steve Jobs worshipping iPhone user, and you got to pay for it. They go, ooh, you know, you tried to pay, but according to your app that has your vaccination records on it, you didn't get the sixth COVID shot. So, ooh, we can't give you your diabetes. And, not only that, but I hate you because you want children to die.
And grandma, don't forget her.
And grandma. You know, even though that we all threw grandma in nursing homes.
Yeah, exactly.
And then grandma didn't die fast enough in the nursing home. And so we sent a bunch of COVID positive people into the nursing home with grandma just so we could, you know, finish the job a little faster. Because, you know, having to go visit grandma is just a pain.
It's a drag.
Old Nikki. Tell.
Go to those rooms, sit there and that.
Yeah. It's just like old stories that I can only picture in black and white. It's just terrible. I'm such a good person. Yep. I'm such a good person.
But you got the vaccine, so you know you're a good person.
Yeah, but I didn't get the sixth vaccine, and so they're like,
so you're a bad person.
Yeah, now they hate me, I'm a bad person, and I can't get my my bag of diabetes I was going to eat for dinner.
But are you wearing a mask?
Well, yes, obviously.
All right, good.
But, you know, the mask isn't enough because of unvaccinated people. And so they're like, ooh, sorry, we can't give you this stuff. So now you have to like, you got to go back and you're like, well, you got to convince yourself that it's like, well, maybe it's not so bad. And maybe they're not going to have a seventh COVID shot. Maybe this will be it. And, you know, everyone else is doing it and it's fine. So you got the sixth COVID shot. And then this process just keeps repeating over and over and over again. So, you know, all joking aside, though, I mean, we can kind of see this happening where it's like they want you to, because they're doing it in other countries, that they'll connect your money, your bank account, to your vaccination records. I mean, we already have digital, the money's basically already digital. They're talking about these central bank digital currencies. They've been talking about doing away with cash for a while, and there's been some countries that have done away with physical cash.
Is it India? At least they attempted it.
I don't know. So, this idea that John lays out is perfectly reasonable in my view of something that they would try to do and something that we should be wary of and try to take steps to prevent. But, I mean, let's say, like, if you don't have Bitcoin, what do you do? Like, let's say Bitcoin doesn't exist or it's not a solution that you want to have. Like, what do you do in this situation? Not use the money? I mean, it would make...
You expand your garden.
Yeah. Grow one more cucumber.
Yeah.
And that will push you over the edge into perfect
liberty. But really, what do you do?
Yeah. I mean, it's like what we talked about when we had that episode a little while ago about walking tall. When you don't have hard money that you can actually have savings with and preserve the value that you create... you can't stand up for your beliefs. You have to like make a decision. Well, am I going to put food on the table or am I going to stand up for what I believe in? And it's really, really difficult decision to make, especially when it's not just you. If you've got a wife and kids or anything else or other people depending on you, it's really a tough decision that I don't really blame most people for deciding to put food on the table. But then like the worst part about that, maybe not the worst part about it, but a bad part about that is that once you get into that mindset too, like you have to rationalize it. You got to justify it. And maybe you are justified in doing it. You don't want to like starve your kids. But when you just don't have a better option in your head, like that's what you're thinking about. It's like, I don't have another option. It's not my fault. You know, I don't want to do this, but, there's a cost for everything. I mean, there's certain things where it's just like your life may just be a little bit inconvenienced and you decide to give up on your principles a little bit. And that just like puts you in the mindset of being a helpless victim. And so that's not really good for your psyche. That puts you probably on the path towards a positive feedback loop of every time you're presented with a challenge or an inconvenience, you find all the reasons to say, well, it's not my fault. And if I had better options and I wouldn't go against my morals and go along with this thing. And so it just, each time you do that, it becomes easier to just kind of fall into that line of thinking more and more. Sometimes you do have to stare into the dark abyss of reality and say there's no good solution. But hopefully that stirs you into doing something that to prevent you from being in that situation again. Hopefully that feels like hitting rock bottom, or mm-hmm. It feels like, just really uncomfortable for you. But I feel like in the world that we've been in this fiat economy that, it's not like a rug pull. It's like, we've been slowly led to this thing where it's like, it's whatever. And I've done it with plenty of stuff in the past. I probably still do it a little bit now. I'm not perfect. This whole idea that you're going to have to get the COVID vaccine or else, you know, you don't have a job. It's not like this came out of nowhere. It's like we've been conditioned to just like give up a little bit of freedom here and there just to go along and to get along. And you have any thoughts on that, Slappy? Kind of monologue there for a little bit.
Yeah, no, I mean, I remember after 9/11, when the Department of Homeland Security was created, the TSA was created, and I remember people being upset with it. Now, at the time, I was like a neocon. I'm like, no, we got to get the terrorists, and it's we're just going to get the terrorists or something. I don't know what my opinion was, but that was probably it. But I remember people being upset by it and thinking like, yeah, but in this scenario, like 9/11 just happened, and they boarded airplanes, like. And now you have people, lots of people, who can't even imagine an airport without it. You just had an experience at the airport. Like the first time I flew internationally, and I just walked up to the gate. I was younger, but my mom walked up with me. I hopped on the plane and off I went. And that wouldn't happen today. It can't happen. People wouldn't even imagine that happening today. But that's the real only reason I bring that up, is it's like all that conditioning over the years. That's 20 years ago. And people don't even think about it. People don't really complain about it, other than like a few crazies like us. And now it's here to stay. And it's a big jobs program. And that, I think, is going to happen with this as well. I don't know how it goes away. And without Bitcoin.
Right.
It's really scary. I mean, really scary if you don't have, like, so tell me this. Why do you think Bitcoin would solve it? Why don't they just put a passport on your Bitcoin wallet?
Well, they can't, because they would, I mean, I use free and open source software for my Bitcoin wallet. So someone creates some code and puts it out there and I can download it. It's, you know,
no one can censor. No one can stop you from putting that, you know, from sending that transaction, from broadcasting that transaction.
Yeah, or even just putting the code on my phone. I mean, I guess they could make it so that my phone or something, that, you know, they can't download certain code. But, I mean, I have old phones that they wouldn't be able to really do that with. There's, you know, I don't necessarily just have to use my phone. It's tough to do that on other hardware. It's extremely difficult for them to control what code you have on your hardware. And then, like you said, they can't censor Bitcoin transactions. So you can send your money to her. But I want to take a step back, and I know I've been saying this a lot, but I really want to drill this point home, because I think it's really, really important. And we all talk about how, you know, when we say Bitcoin fixes this, it's meant to kind of be like, in the long run, it fixes these problems, because, you know, Bitcoin's not like just some silver bullet that one day is just going to solve all these problems. However, with the threat of, you know, vaccination mandates for where you're working really kind of looming over us, I don't want to lose my job, obviously. Like, that would be annoying. But I'm not.
I like my job. I like the company I work for. I like the people.
Yeah.
I don't want to lose it.
I don't want to not have that income, you know. Let, you know, if nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't lay awake in bed at night worrying about it. I actually feel extremely confident about it because I have Bitcoin, because I actually have accumulated real savings that can't be manipulated by some centralized party that can just play around with the monetary supply, the money supply and the monetary system, and just like eviscerate the value of my savings. They also can't prevent me from sending it somewhere unless they like actually physically prevent me from doing it, which is extremely violent and probably not exactly something they want to go to the well to right away. So because of that, because I have savings and I can sustain myself for a while off the savings I've accumulated in Bitcoin, I don't feel like I'm not feeling the pressure to get the vaccine. Because if they say, hey, Rallo, you either get the vaccine or you can't work here anymore. It's like, fine.
Later.
Like at this point, it becomes like an inconvenience, maybe more than an inconvenience, but like I can sustain myself for a while with my Bitcoin savings.
Buy some time to find something to do.
It's going to be worse for them than it is for me. Because they got to go out and find another engineer to fill my role. And guess what? This hasn't exactly been a buyer's market for employers. So not only do you have to like find someone and get and lose that, you know, them getting used to the plant and the job and everything else, and the training and everything to get them up to speed to where I was, it's probably gonna be difficult to find someone. So I think, you know, when an employer just, I think for the most part, they're kind of assuming that like that threat will just sort of losing your job is just going to make people go get it. And they probably think that the vast majority of people are going to get it. And I think a lot of businesses are different. It really depends on your job too, because if you're just like mm-hmm. in a department and there's like 10 other people with your job, you're probably a little more replaceable as opposed to I'm the only person with my job in my company. Now there's other people that could kind of like slide in and fill in, but it wouldn't be great because then they like basically double their workload. So they're not going to be happy about it. But given, you know, the position I'm in my job and given the position I'm in with my Bitcoin, I feel like I have more bargaining power than they do here, that I can make them make an exception for me. Maybe they won't. And that's why I need the real threat of being able to just like, fine, I'll live off my savings. That feels good to be in that position. And I know not everyone's going to be in the same position as me. And I'm not trying to say that like, oh, I'm super wealthy in Bitcoin. I have enough I just have savings. that's like, I have enough to sustain myself for a little bit. That's what everyone should
and
be.
And that's, I think, the thing. So right now on the like, we're talking the immediate future. So there's people listening who don't have much Bitcoin or don't have any Bitcoin.
Right. But let me just say, that should motivate them to go get it.
That's what I'm saying. So right now you're thinking, all right, I might only have so much time before this happens, or it's an inevitability. Like, start making those changes now and saving as much as you can.
Yeah. Because it's not going to get any better if you don't. It's just going to put you deeper and deeper into that hole.
Right. And, you know, right now, I mean, we've been talking about Bitcoin for a while now on this show. It's been a couple of years, mm-hmm. right? You know, a lot of people haven't bought it yet or bought any significant amount of it. But it's like the time to start going again. Like, you get, it's just savings, right? It's savings, saving your dollar, saving whatever you can. Saving in Bitcoin offers you freedom.
Yeah. Well, it's like, there's a parable in the gospel about this, the bridesmaids waiting for the groom. Are they bridesmaids? But some of them were kind of like dilly-dallying around, and then like, oh, the groom's just about here. And half of them are like, oh no, we don't have any oil for our lamps. And they say to the other ones, hey, give us some of the oil for your lamps so like we're not stuck. And they're like, well, we can't because then no one will have enough oil. So they go out and run to get oil. And then, you know, the groom comes and takes them all in because they have their lamps and he can see them. I'm butchering this up. But
yeah.
And then the other ones come back and they're like, hey, we're here. And he's like, all right, we already came and you weren't out there, so I don't know who you are. So have fun staying poor. I'm pretty sure that quote was in the Bible.
That's how it ends.
He said, have fun staying poor.
Yeah.
But like, there's going to come a time. And now I'm not saying that you're going to like, that will cause you to die. You're just going to have to make decisions that you really don't want to have to make. Or make choices.
Yes, and you know, maybe, and that's the thing, like, say you have to make that choice you don't want to make, that you're kind of backed into a corner and you have to make that decision. Well, there's still the future. Like, keep saving, and then you can get free from the situation you're in. I mean, it's just like having debt, right? Like, kids graduate school with $100,000 of debt, and it's, yeah, and then they buy a house and a car, and it's just debt everywhere, and they run up their credit card. It's like, start today and get out of it.
Yeah, because even I'm not trying to discourage you to say like, oh, let's say, you know, you don't have enough Bitcoin or you don't have any Bitcoin, and then they make you get the vaccine. It doesn't mean the game's over. You should still like start accumulating Bitcoin.
Start now and exit the system when you can.
Like, part of, you know, we all have the meme about hodling and not spending your Bitcoin, but in drastic circumstances, like, spend your Bitcoin if like the alternative is really bad. Like when we had Scott Horton on the show and he said like, yeah, I had some Bitcoin and then my wife needed surgery. So it's like, yeah, yes.
Yeah. Good thing you had Bitcoin.
Yeah. Like, that's why you have savings. That's why you have Bitcoin. So you can afford to do these things. So we just kind of gave like the individual, like very near,
near term right now
for why Bitcoin kind of fixes this problem. And the other thing too, is that like, even, well, I mean, this, let's get into it. Kind of given a more holistic,
I was going to say, well, this could take us down. Yeah, go ahead.
But what I want to say is, all right, let's say they have this pharma wallet, this dollar digital, it's already digital, but this digital dollar that's got your COVID stuff.
That can turn you off. Turn off your spending ability if you don't have your passport.
So do we think that this is going to be more or less inflationary than the current dollar? Or about the same? It's probably about the same, if not more. I mean, if they're getting to the point where they like, they just,
I was going to say,
they go off, it's hard to go off the dollar. Or at least, you know,
like, you're only using this pharma wallet type thing,
which I think, you know,
or your Apple Pay or whatever, like, that's the only way.
I think the dollar is about dead, and we're going to have a new dollar. I think I'd say within a year.
Some may say that's why COVID is.
I would probably argue that. You know, you'll still, you know, your bank account will probably still have the same number of new dollars and those old dollars, but it's just gonna. Sorry, Grum just jumped up on the desk, and I don't want him up here. All right, Bitcoin, fix that. Fix Grum jumping on my desk. But like, all right, so let's ask this too. Do you think that the pharma wallet new dollar system is going to be more or less inflationary than Bitcoin?
It will be more. So,
all these central banks and governments, when they're talking about like doing something different and their CBDCs and everything, is like the challenge for Bitcoin. None of that stuff you know, competes with Bitcoin because it's still centralized. They still control it. They're still going to have full control over the monetary supply. And it is, as far as inflating it and, you know, censoring transactions. So there's still going to be a really, really strong case for Bitcoin because it has a hard cap. It's sound money, and they can't get in the way of transactions and censor you. So we're still going to see Thiers' law. Thiers, is it Thiers or Thiers? I don't know.
I go with the TH. I go with the Thiers, okay. But I don't know
what
we'll call it
Thiers' law. Thiers' law, which is the kind of it's.
Well, should we start with Gresham's? Sure. So I think a lot of people are familiar with Gresham's law, or at least have heard of it.
Yeah.
That bad money mm-hmm. drives out good money.
But you want to qualify that because I think people don't.
Yeah, that's where I was going. So, like, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by, like, bad money drives out good money?
Yeah, well, go for it.
Well, so it depends on, you know, the laws that are in place.
Yeah.
The monetary policy, the laws that are in whatever territory, because if there's a law that states you, so for example, in the United States, well, we can look at it in the United States. Yeah. So the United States is in 1964, they started printing the fake quarters that were no longer have any silver in them. And you saw almost immediately the silver quarters were driven out of circulation. Everyone wanted to hold on to the silver and spend the cheap little pieces of metal that were the same, could buy you the same amount of stuff as the silver quarters. And I think today, like, you have $1.25 of silver quarters, it's like an ounce of silver or something. I don't know what the price of silver is, but say, was it $30 or
somewhere around there? I don't know.
But if you tied $1.25 of that cheap metal, it's going to be less than $1.25 of metal. So it would drive out the silver and people would spend the cheap little coins.
Right. Gresham's law applies to when legal tender laws have an effect on it, that they kind of have a unit of money that they tie to each different type of money. So like when you have, so when they try to peg. Right,
so whether you spend a silver quarter or a fake quarter, it's both right. 25 cents.
So Thiers' law is the opposite in the sense that good money drives out bad. And that's when legal tender laws don't have the same effect over the two competing monies. Because what happens under Thiers' law is, let's say you've got Bitcoin versus the dollar, and Bitcoin is the appreciating money asset, if you will, because, well, there can't be two money, but whatever. We're not trying to be super technical with whether or not something's money yet or not. You get what I'm saying. Sure. So Bitcoin is the appreciating asset. And the dollar is the depreciating one because they keep adding the supply to it. So the Bitcoin's becoming more valuable as time goes on compared to the dollar. So people are going to do the same thing as they did under the under Gresham's law, where they're going to want to hold on to the one that's appreciating, the Bitcoin, and choose to spend the dollars. However, the difference is that the Bitcoin going out of like circulation, there's no mechanism for like just using the dollars in the same way as they would the Bitcoin. So the dollar keeps depreciating in value, whereas a quarter is worth a quarter, right? You don't have that peg right. anymore. So your dollar is like going down in value compared to the Bitcoin. So much so that eventually people are going to stop accepting the dollar as payment. Or if they do accept the dollar as payment, they're going to accept it at a premium. So they're going to charge you more dollars to accept the depreciating asset. And so that's going to keep, as the dollar keeps losing value against Bitcoin, that premium is going to keep going up and up and up and up into infinity, which just means that the dollar becomes valueless. So we, you know, we can expect to see this happen because, like we keep saying, that you can't censor Bitcoin. And so there will be people that will, that you've already accelerated this by pushing people out of the regular economy, out of using this pharma wallet because they don't have the vaccine. And so you already have people that are going to like start creating an economy where they only accept Bitcoin as payment. That's the only thing they can accept as payment. That's the only thing they can spend. And so what are people going to do as Bitcoin appreciates in value against the dollar and your pharma wallet? You know, people are going to start wanting to hold on to Bitcoin too. That's what happens every single time a harder asset is introduced into an economy. People always transition into the harder money because it makes economic sense. They're not even like doing it.
They don't even like realize they're doing it.
Right. They're just doing it because it
just makes sense.
Right. It would be like, you know, the same reason why people started using cars instead of horses. Because
no matter how much they loved horses and how many jobs were involved in the horse industry and the cart industry or whatever, it didn't matter.
The car just did a better job of transportation than a horse did. And so people just naturally moved over to the better thing. And so people are just going to naturally move over to the better money, the thing that can perform the functions of money better. So you'll have this pharma wallet and maybe people will spend it and everything, but you know, eventually as more money flows out of the dollar and the pharma wallet and into Bitcoin, you know, it's going to be tough for people to get paid and like, who's going to want to get paid in dollars anymore for their jobs. And it's not just like regular people. Who's like government employees, the enforcement arm of the state. Are those people going to keep wanting to get paid in dollars that's depreciating so fast and rapidly? Or are they going to want to get paid in Bitcoin? So you're just going to have this like constant, and even if they do get paid in dollars, they're immediately going to convert it into Bitcoin. So there's just this like constant downward pressure on the dollar and pretty constant upward pressure on Bitcoin. And not only that, the people that you removed from your white economy, white market economy, all the people who are the permission people, well, they're going to get poorer if they're holding on to dollars. And the people that you pushed out are going to get wealthier because they're already all holding on to Bitcoin. So you're going to make them the wealthy class of society. And what do you think if you create a new wealthy class, what do you think they're going to do about all of the stupid nonsense about COVID vaccine passports and everything? Like, it's just not going to be tolerated. They're going to get rid of it because they're going to have the resources to pull those strings now. Whether that's political power, or they'll just buy off politicians to change it, or if it's just they just wealthy enough to create their own systems that, since it's going to be operating on a much freer market because you have a hard money, it's just going to just totally outstrip the legacy system. Did I miss that? Anything?
I think you covered it.
Like, is there, I don't want to have like a, like any sort of gap in where we're saying like why, like with the application of Thiers' law and stuff and like what's gonna,
I mean, I think we're kind of kind of assuming that the listener understands how Bitcoin is sound money, hard money.
Yeah. I guess the argument would be like, all right, if they're going to go so far out of their way to do this pharma wallet, like they're not just going to like let Bitcoin still happen. They could try to make it illegal.
But yeah. It'll make black markets pop up because right. You can't stop it. I mean, even if the United States, it was illegal, the rest of the world, it's not yet.
Yeah.
You know, and there's going to be plenty of people in the United States with it. And it's like we've talked about Gunter Riemann's book,
The Vampire Economy.
Vampire Economy. Right. And just how, like, they put all kinds of controls on the money and what money you're allowed to spend, what money you're allowed to spend on foreign goods and how much you're allowed to purchase. And the people just figured out ways around it.
Yeah.
They got creative and found ways around it. I mean, if they said you're not allowed to spend dollars, but Bitcoin still exists and still has value, and I could tell my neighbor who got it, how about you go to the store for me and I pay you in Bitcoin? And, you know, there's just ways around it. It's going to be inconvenient for a while. It would be terrible, but eventually, like you're saying, Bitcoin is the harder, sounder money. Its good value is going to continue to appreciate against the dollar, and you're going to have a new wealthy class.
Yeah, I'm glad. Like, I was going to bring up the having a friend or neighbor or family member go food shopping for you or something, because it's like that's what you – I mean, look at the war on drugs.
Yeah.
Like, they haven't stopped that black market from getting stronger. And let's compare being a, you know, street dealer or something, or any sort of soldier in a gang that or organization, if you will, that is in the drug trade. And, you know, they get a premium for doing stuff mm-hmm. that is risky and otherwise that someone, you know, a normal person wouldn't do. Buying groceries for someone and accepting Bitcoin, which can be done pretty privately, is a lot less of an ask than it is to go be selling drugs on a nasty street corner somewhere. So, like, you're just going to create a new market, and there's going to be prices for things, including buying my groceries for me, or coming with me when I want to fill my gas tank with gas. Now, it's going to be an inconvenience for me, but, you know, if I'm wealthy enough that I can do that, then, you know, so be it. I can get around this stuff instead of just giving in. Now, I don't even know that we're going to reach that point. Like, I think this is
all think we will.
It's all going to happen so fast that they're not even going to have a chance to do this.
That's what I mean, wow, that would be great. I just don't think it's going to last. I think, like, I hope I'm right. I hope I'm not wrong. But was it Norway, somewhere over there, just lifted all their COVID restrictions? And I saw Moscow had the, you need to have a vaccine to go eat, and they lifted that restriction because the businesses can't take it. Like, they can't. They're working on thin margins as it is. I think they're going to make a real strong push like they're doing now, and they're going to have employers trying to tell you you have to have it. But businesses operate on thin margins, and they have employees. I know there's a certain amount of people out there who think, like, employers just have money everywhere and could just hire and spend and do, but they can't. And if they lose 30% of their employees or 20% or whatever, that's a big deal. They can't do that.
And I'll venture a guess and say your typical Bitcoiner is going to be one of your higher performing employees. So
probably.
Low time preference.
Yeah. So they can try, and they're going to try. We see them trying right now. But I don't know how it's going to go. I'm kind of hopeful that it's – you know, they put these mandates in, and then like 30% of the people don't do it, and they say, yeah, well, you're required, and they're just giving out exceptions and whatever, and eventually it goes away because people will realize that natural immunity works pretty well. And they can even say the vaccine solved it. Go ahead. Vaccine solved the problem. We're done. And 3 years from now, no one will care that I'm not vaccinated.
Right.
That's my hope.
Yeah. So we can
maybe like, wishful thinking, but that's my hope.
With John's tweet, we can even like make it a lot more general about what the idea he's getting at. It's not just like for pharmaceutical stuff. It's not just for COVID stuff. It could be anything.
Anything.
Any sort of censorship that's out there. Like Bitcoin fixes it. Or if you want to get to the point where it's like, it's so bad that you have to leave the country. Okay. Or change jurisdictions, whatever you got to do. Maybe not, hopefully not leave the country. Maybe you can move to a different state or something. Like, as long as you can get out, which by the way, if you have Bitcoin, you can pay someone to get you. You know, that certainly helps. The wealthier you are, the better chance you have of being able to bribe or do whatever you got to do, spend the money to get yourself out. But, you know, you hear these stories about people. I know India is a popular one when people, you know, gathered all their wealth up in gold and then like they got to get on a plane or something, or they got to somehow get out of the country, and you can't just like carry a suitcase of gold with you. Can't even keep a pocket full of coins with you because they're going to find it and they're going to take it. Mm-hmm. Whereas Bitcoin, if you absolutely needed to, and this isn't all that hard to do, you could memorize 12 words and transport your entire life savings with you.
Yeah, I mean, you could memorize the 12 words. You can write them in code somehow. You know,
there's
email them to you, like in a code, not out there, like the first word of every paragraph in a book, or, you know, you circle them in a book that you bring. I don't know. You could do something.
And send it in an encrypted file somewhere that you can access somewhere else.
Exactly.
Like there's and a,
you got,
yeah, there's a lot of ways.
As much as you have, you can do it.
Right. And so
$1 billion you could send.
And so you can just,
if you had it,
go. As long as you can physically get out, you can go and have your life savings with you. You've never.
And I mean, there's just countless stories throughout the 20th century of this.
Yeah.
People trying to escape their own government and having all their income, all their wealth, everything they built their whole lives saving is gone, and they have to start over somewhere else.
Yes.
Bitcoin fixes that.
And again, you know, that's not a good situation. If you're at a point where you have to leave the country, I mean, but here's the thing too. This creates a much greater jurisdictional arbitrage. It also, if you can leave with all of your wealth, it probably will make you decide to leave a lot sooner than you would otherwise. Because it, you know, you're not starting completely over again like you would have to otherwise. Right. You can take something with you. And so not only that, like, so not only are you more willing to go move to a different country, but also you're bringing that wealth with you. Because before, the benefit of the country that was being nasty, that wealth was either confiscated or just destroyed. But now, you're bringing that wealth to that new home of yours with that new country. So you're draining capital and wealth from the nasty nation and bringing it to the friendlier jurisdiction, which is promoting, you know, their economy and making them more powerful. And you're much, much more quickly draining wealth and power and influence from your home country, which is the nasty one. So it's not exactly like good as far as, you know, global national power dynamics go. If you have an effective like brain drain and wealth drain from a country that's pouring into another one. Like that makes that situation a whole lot different because, you know, the wealth is not getting confiscated. It's not getting destroyed by the country that's making these bad policy decisions. And the countries with good policy decisions aren't just getting, you know, more bodies, more people that can work and be productive. Although in a lot of cases, when you're dirt poor, you're probably going to be a strain on their resources for a while. But this means that you can go in there, not strain their systems and everything, and immediately, you know, command resources and be wealthy and be much more productive. You can contribute to their economy right away, even if you can't get a job over there. You still have hard money that's useful to these, to the people of this new country, and you're still positively contributing to their economy. That didn't happen otherwise. Or it was different. Much, much, much different. So it's really not a good idea. You know, that's why I've been saying before for a while, the correct move for a government is not to be overbearing and nasty and aggressive against Bitcoin. It's do the opposite, because eventually Bitcoin's going to eviscerate every government. But it's not going to do it on an equal time scale. I think it's going to lay waste to the bad governments before it does it to, relatively good governments. Rollo, actually, there's no such thing as a good government. Yeah, I know. But the ones that, you know, are more respectful of rights will survive longer.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll send this out to John and to Mark and see what they think.
Yeah, see what they think.
If any pushback, be interesting to hear it. Speaking of Gresham's Law and Thiers' Law and Bitcoin, I'm hopefully going to be having an article out about that soon.
All right.
Not exactly sure where it's going to be posted yet, but hopefully it happens soon.
Good.
So, I don't know. Anything else on this, Slappy?
No, I think I hope that explains. I think it explains it. It's sometimes nice to hear from someone who's not so into Bitcoin, because they'd be thinking different than I do.
Yeah, we kind of kind of locked in this mindset, and we take for granted some ideas that may not be so obvious to someone who's from the outside a little bit.
Right. So if you do have any pushback or you think we missed something.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, I kind of want to do one of those episodes where we just like go on Twitter and say, what are your Bitcoin questions? I go through and answer them. Cause I think that's fun.
Sure.
Cause I think a lot of people have questions and it's fun to answer them. Yeah.
Good questions. And they need answers for them.
And they,
it's just like we joke, but like, you know, who will build the roads? That needs an answer.
Right.
To someone who
wants
to learn.
And the answer is the Taliban, because they're building roads in.
Yes. Yeah. And they will build them. They will come and build them.
So all of the statists out there who hate libertarians because they don't think the roads are getting built should be huge fans of the Taliban. Which
roads.
That seems to have gone off the news cycle recently. Or maybe I've just been out of the loop because I was in Dallas running around with Bitcoiners, but I haven't heard much about the Taliban in Afghanistan.
Well, did you see that the kids got killed in the drone strike? Yeah. That was out, I think, today or yesterday.
What happened?
There's a drone strike killed a couple children and an interpreter who worked with the U.S. and
whose drone was it?
The United States drone.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know. I didn't like follow the story. I saw it was going around. It's really sad.
That darn Taliban, right?
Yeah.
Flying that American drone.
Just what do you say about that is if it was the other way around and the Taliban killed a couple American children, I mean, rightfully Americans would be pissed.
Of course.
I would be pissed. I'd be annoyed. It's sad. It's just devastating and it should stop.
I agree.
But so, I don't know what else was in the news. I don't watch the news. I'm out of it.
No, neither do I. I just haven't really seen it on the...
on Twitter, whatever.
Yeah,
on out the there in the world.
That's basically where I get my news nowadays. If I see something a bunch on the timeline, then I assume that it's a news story.
Yeah.
So, all right. Anything you want to close with?
Nah, you got your tractor reference out early. I don't like this trend.
Well, it's high time preference. I mean, it's low time preference.
Yeah.
Because I get it out of the way early so I can don't have to focus on it. And I can free my mind up for other things. Less important things, but other things.
Okay.
Like actually explaining the point I was trying to make to John.
Good. Well, I think we did it.
All right. You heard it here. Slappy says we did it.
Yeah, I hope it makes sense. And if there's any questions, holla.
Yeah, so on the show notes page, mcflugel.com/267, we'll link to John Odermatt's tweet so you can read it and dunk on him. Don't dunk on him. also check out bitcointrickle.com if you're interested in learning about Bitcoin or you want to send friends and family who are getting interested into Bitcoin and you want to outsource the education, send them over to us and we'll do it for them. We'll give them a couple of emails a week, give them a little bit of Bitcoin information at a time so they can start from block zero without really any knowledge and get up to speed with a pretty good understanding of the economics and the technical stuff. So I haven't heard any complaints yet from anybody. So that means everyone loves it. And also, if you want a little bit different of a format, check out 10hoursofbitcoin.com where there's 10 hours worth of video and audio content that we also have on in podcast form. So if that's more your speed, go check that out or do both. Get it from different angles. Yeah, get it from different angles. Attack it from different ways. It'll make you stronger.
Yeah.
So, all right, that's all I've got. Thanks for listening, and we will catch you next week.
Peace.